they felt that their science was so perfect and could run the economic system so perfectly that there would be no need for politicians at all. You know, after the Agenda 21 conference way back in 1992, the next thing they produced was the biodiversity study book. This thing was 1,200 pages of all the do's and don'ts that, you know, things that would be allowed during under sustainable development and things that might be allowed. And the pandemic idea is actually producing enough dead bodies where they can scare the whole you-know-what out of everybody and force the whole world into shutting down their economic system. This was the goal of technocracy from the get-go. They had to, capitalism had to die.
With the global economy being in shambles and central bankers moving towards a reset, it's never been a better time to protect your wealth by owning precious metals. Contact Andy at milesfranklin.com. Tell him Sarah sent you. He promised me he will guarantee you the lowest price anywhere in the country. Remember, email Andy at milesfranklin.com and tell him Sarah sent you. It's never been a better time to protect your future than now. How are they going to determine who isn't worthy to be part of the crowd that gets to stay alive?
Boy, isn't that's a $64 question, isn't it?
Yes.
I hate to even talk about this because, you know, you kind of end up sounding like a wing nut, you know?
Well, even asking the question, I might have been kind of wing nutty.
Let me put it to you this way. We know that the vaccines right now that are coming out are vastly different. This is not your grandmother's vaccine that's being put out on us now. These are genomic. They're changing the genetic structure. They're not just injecting, you know, dead virus particles into you anymore. They're actually intending to use GMO technology to edit the messenger DNA that they will plug into your body that will cause your RNA and your DNA to change. And by the way, they are not absolutely certain that those changes will not enter into the germline, which means, for instance, if you check today and you have a baby 9 months from now, that baby may well carry the gene that you got injected with. Well, that means they're changing humanity altogether. These people now are busy messing with the DNA structure of humanity.
I know. That's what scares me. And they haven't done any kind of major trials on this, unless they did without our knowledge. Some people say that they've had this ready for a while. They're coming out with it now.
Listen, I have to tell you, the technocrat mind does not care about your health. It's not about you at all. This is about them. They have no interest whatsoever in saving lives, quote unquote. Whatever Fauci was spouting off about, you know, well, we need to save lives. That was just nonsense, Sarah. It was absolutely disingenuous. They could care less. What if a man like Hitler rose up and said, we're trying to save lives here with everything we're doing? Actually, he did say that a couple of times, but, you know, I mean, it's just ludicrous to think that. No, they didn't care about human life. They were destroying human life as fast as they could.
They want their type of human life and their view of what should be around. So in their sense, they think that they're helping human life because it's their ideal.
Yes. Well, in any case, one of the goals of technocracy is to socially engineer society. One big outcome of transhumanism is to create humanity 2.0 that will be beyond where we are right now. And that means working out the argumentative traits and the negative traits that we have and stuff by changing our genetic structure. And we ask about, well, how does this fit into depopulation? I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. Really. Anybody that messes with your genetic structure is messing with your life, period.
Yeah.
And with the life of humanity. And judging by the success and the failure horror stories of Bill Gates's ventures in Africa and India, and considering that he is driving all of this vaccine thing today with Fauci and the rest of them at the World Health Organization and Gavi and GPMB and all these other organizations, it's Gates, 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 Gates. Everywhere you look, there's Gates. He's there. Why would we trust him to give us something that worked any better than Africa or India? There's absolutely no reason to trust this man or anything he ever did. Not only that, his family has been steeped in eugenics way back into his father's career, who was actually a director on the board of directors of Planned Parenthood at one time. This guy's a class A1 eugenicist. That I'm talking about Gates, totally.
Yeah, it's scary. He actually funds a depopulation nonprofit too. Yeah, he's given them millions of dollars. Yep. You know what?
This process is gaslighting. I love that term based on that movie Gaslight from years ago. But it means you're looking at one thing thinking it's real, and somebody else comes along and says, no, that's not real. That's not what's happening. And all of a sudden your mind starts playing tricks on you. Well, I know what I saw, but you're telling me that's not what I saw. You know, snap. You hear that enough and your brain starts to really go into a tailspin.
You have to have enough confidence in yourself to get past that.
That's right.
And a lot of people have that. Well, let's talk about Elon Musk. His grandfather was the head of technocracy in Canada.
Yes, he was. For many years.
I thought you would know that for sure.
Yes.
And so it kind of paints Elon Musk into a whole nother perspective on everything he's trying to get accomplished.
Well, to him, science is the god, so to speak, and he considers himself to be the head genius of the world.
I got to laugh at those comments because it's just so absurd.
Well, I know, but he really does believe he's the biggest genius in the universe.
He's got the biggest brain floating around. Well, he wants to connect all of us into a singular brain, essentially, eventually. Yeah. And wants all of us to be working together. And in an abstract science sense, the hive mind concept could make us pretty powerful. But then that takes away from our individuality and all sorts of nutty things.
Absolutely. I know. And there's a lot of people like Musk around. It's not just him, but he's just a perfect example of what a technocrat is today. If you want to a cookie cutter template, a model, whatever, about, well, what does a technocrat look like? Just look at Musk. That's, just look at him and study him a little bit. You'll find out that's exactly what it was. His grandfather, by the way, presided over the technocracy movement in Canada. He was like the grand poobah of the Canadian movement. There was a chapter in each province in Canada, but he was like the head guy over the whole thing. And when technocracy movement was banned for 2 years in Canada because of its image reflecting too much of Nazi Germany, and it did, they had the same kind of steel gray uniforms they wore all the time with blue neckties and little pins, and they had their cars were all the same color, technocracy gray. It scared the politicians into thinking that somehow technocracy had something to do with Nazi Germany. So they banned the party altogether in Canada for 2 years. And that was during that period of time, it was Musk's grandfather who defended technocracy against those charges and ultimately got them reversed. And he finally gave up on technocracy. He left Canada and went to South Africa. In fact, South Africa is where Musk was born. Then he came back as he grew up. He came back to Canada, went to college, and so on. The rest is history. But his grandfather was an interesting character. He was a technocrat through and through, and that was a home that Elon Musk grew up in. And you just have to say that the fruit doesn't fall far for them. Well, no, excuse me. The nut doesn't fall far on the tree.
That's a better way of saying it. That's funny.
I know.
Well, now we see that they want to get rid of Trump at all costs, it seems like. What do you think ties into that? Because Trump has an interesting background himself, because his uncle was in charge of the Tesla documents for the CIA. And he kind of has some insight on all sorts of other things. So there's a tie in some, you know, Trump has more insight into this history of our world than people realize. But they want to get Trump out of office at all. I mean, it's just so ludicrous. You watch their behavior, right? What's going on there?
Well, I've had an opinion for 45 years that that left versus right, Democrat versus Republican, liberal versus conservative, has basically been a straw man from the get-go as far as technocracy is concerned. Because no matter who's been in office, whether it was Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Obama, it hasn't mattered hardly at all as far as the technocracy movement is concerned. It has moved forward with breakneck and very consistent, but very breakneck speed at the same time for decades. And it still is even today under Trump. Now, whether Trump is aware of this or not, I have no clue. But many of the things that he's done have played into the hands of advancing technocracy, or at least the goals of technocracy. And for instance, on one hand, he would be absolutely against AOC's Green New Deal. That's as a political issue. He would be. But he was the first one to say, we're going to align the entire U.S. government, all of its agencies, into the rapid rollout of 5G technology.
Yeah, that was very interesting to me that he's so into this 5G and this vaccine. I'm trying to understand those moves.
Well, it is kind of hard to understand. And, you know, I don't know where the history will put him when it's all said and done.
But he's way better than these other guys.
I like some things socially, especially. I like some of the things that Trump has done and said that really needed to be done and said. But on the other hand, technocracy is still being serviced quite well.
I just don't know if one person can take the world down like that. I'm wondering if he's pushing back enough where they just can't stand him. I mean, I don't know. I know that he wanted to stop this whole virus thing right away, and the pushback was incredible. And he's supporting Chrissy Noem in South Dakota, who didn't shut down her state at all. So he's doing some things and putting some messages out there that he doesn't like this, you know. But I can't imagine. And he's also he's really helping the children. There's so many children that have been trafficked that he's stopping. Yep. Record. Yep. So there's a lot of great things that he's doing. And in comparison to these clowns, you know, the other... I mean, I just don't even know. At least he's a shining beacon of something, you know, that tells me, well, he's a lot better than the alternative at this point.
Well, that's an understatement. Going back to, you know, the last election, anybody but Hillary. I mean, you could have, in my opinion, I would have voted for Alfred E. Newman if he was running. You know, if it was between Alfred E. Newman and Hillary, I would definitely not vote for Hillary. I don't care what. But
you have to stab you in the eye. And I've always wanted a female president. You know, but I won't vote for somebody like that. I mean, they at least have to be just as capable. If they're in the ballpark from capability standpoint, then I'd vote for a woman.
Well, I know. And, you know, there's... I have to say, prostitution is not asexual. It's, you know, male politicians can be just as much.
Oh my God.
A prostitute as a woman. And yet men never get tagged for it, right? Oh, it's got to be the woman. Well, I tell you what, this mentality, who was it that said that the two oldest professions in the world are politics and prostitution? They go hand in hand. And, you know, whether they be men or women, if they're evil in heart and they just want to continually do what's evil, they will. And they will not be good for the people. They will take everything they can from the people and hurt as many people in the process as they possibly can. And this
if they can have, if they only help people if it happens to align magically with their goals, you know.
Yeah, well, that's about
just a byproduct.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, it's crazy. Like Nancy Pelosi. I just could she just please go away? She's not a nice person. I'm sorry.
No, and I have to say she never has been. I don't know there's been a day in her life that anybody would really call her a nice person. Yeah. And she's, you know, I listen to these videos of the C-SPAN videos. Thank God for C-SPAN, by the way, for recording some of history for us. But I listened to Nancy Pelosi's videos after Agenda 21 was passed. And she was leading the charge to implement Agenda 21 in Congress.
Yep.
And the words coming out of her mouth. Today she said, oh, I never heard of Agenda 21. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Excuse me. Can you really not remember what you said back here?
It's amazing, isn't it? When you see people lie that blatantly.
Oh, it is. And again, this is kind of like that gaslighting process. You know, you look at the video and you clearly see what she says. And then you talk to her, say, why did you support Agenda 21? And she'll say, what? What do you mean? What's Agenda 21?
Liar. It's kind of like her being caught getting her hair done after she supports all those lockdowns and then she's doing it herself. That was good that they caught her doing that because it was she does that stuff all the time, right? I mean, your example of Agenda 21 and lying about it. I mean, she just does it naturally all the time, but at least she was caught in something.
I know. And you know, there was a story about 2 years ago. You might well have seen it. There is a pharmacy close to the Congress, right in downtown Washington, that serves both the Senate and the House. They're mostly dedicated. I think other people can buy drugs there too, but they're mostly dedicated to serving the House and the Senate. And so when people get sick or they have a condition, you know, they have heart pills or I don't know, whatever they need to take, that pharmacy is the one that provides that prescription. They have a delivery service, goes right over to the Senate or the House, and you can just call up and get your drugs delivered right to you. Well, an interview done with the guy that owns this little pharmacy, and he said, well, I can't divulge any personal information, obviously. That would get me in big trouble, and I just couldn't do that. But he said one of the things that concerned him most was that his pharmacy was delivering to, and he wouldn't say who, maybe he didn't know, but I think he must have known he wrote the prescription or filled it, that he was delivering a drug to someone in the Senate, who had Alzheimer's, and they were giving him Alzheimer's drugs. It's like, your mind just has to race with this, you know, who on earth in the Senate or in the House would still be serving if they're, you know, if they have Alzheimer's and they're mind going,
who's running for president who has Alzheimer's or something like it?
Well, you look at Biden right now. Biden can barely string two sentences together.
Yeah, I know. It's clearly he has some kind of dementia.
He has something. I mean, I feel sorry for the man. I hate him politically. I hate his guts, but I feel sorry for him as a human that he's being exposed to this level of shame.
I know. Yeah, I know. I don't know how, and people will vote for him just because they hate Trump so much. But, you know, I want to, before we close this out, because I want to talk about your mask cards, but I got to tell you, I've been waiting for our interview to tell you about my Karen story. I had my card on. I was going to Walmart. I was going to get milk. I was in my own little world. I was kind of in peace and, you know, things were good getting my milk. And all of a sudden this woman, looks like she was in her early 20s. She's kind of heavy set. She comes up to me kind of like with her hand out. And she's like, starts yelling at me because I don't have my mask on. I kind of sat there. I kind of stared at her like, huh? I looked around because I wasn't sure if she was talking to me. And then I realized when she said something about LGBTQ or something, and then a mask, and I'm like, huh? And then I looked out at my card and I said, are you really going to yell at somebody who has a health condition? And then she sat there for a second, didn't say anything, and then turned around and flipped me off with both her hands as she was walking away.
Oh, my.
That's good. And I thought it was actually because I wasn't upset at all. You know, usually when you have a confrontation with somebody, you kind of, your blood's boiling a little bit and you're kind of mad. But with her, she caught me completely in like a Zen mode getting milk. And so it was kind of, to me, it was almost humorous or kind of entertaining watching this person just go nutty. I wish I could have recorded it, but there was no way I was going to be able to respond that quickly to that situation. But I thought about you afterwards, and I was just like, oh, my gosh.
Great. That's a great story. And that is a perfect response, by the way. Anger feeds anger. This is not intuitive to a lot of people who just have a flash anger. But anger begets anger. And so when somebody comes after you in an angry thing, what they want you to do is to get angry with them and then have a big brawl. And if one of you does not get angry, their anger will fall apart. They'll have nothing to do but basically turn around like that lady did and flip you off with both hands as she as she exits stage left. Well, I can't have any fun with you. I'm out of here. But a calm reaction to somebody who has anger diffuses them so quickly because they realize they can't get anywhere with you. They can't get that kind of response out of you. And if you don't feed their energy, their anger energy, with your anger, the argument will die out very quickly. And boy, do we need that in America today, I'll tell you.
Yes, we do. Well, she caught me at the right time where I didn't even know she was yelling at me at first. But can you tell people about your cards? Because I'm telling you, that's my saving grace. I wear it every time I have to go into a store. There are some stores like Menards that won't even let people in with a medical condition.
Yeah.
They're beyond the government's mandates. Yeah. And they say, we're a private store and you can't shop here if you don't. And even though we all know that this technocrats are putting masks for a whole nother reason, it has nothing to do with the virus.
Yes.
But they won't let you shop there. But for the places that do, they're actually very kind. You know, most people are really kind to you because, you know, I have that on because more people agree with you than you realize. Yeah. But can you, because that's been a saving grace for me. And I got to tell people, I really do need it. And I was paranoid when the governor was going to come out with the mandate. I was scared. I don't want to say shitless, but I will. Because I was worried that he was going to make it an all kind of inclusive thing. But when they said the health condition, then that kind of relieved me. And then having your card really helped. Because when I have my mouth covered, you know, when I can't breathe, I panic. And I get this like panic feeling.
Yeah.
And I really do. I got to get it off. And I know more people have that kind of a situation than people realize. I am not that unique.
Yes. That's right. This is a very common thing. I've heard this, I have to say, a couple dozen times at least in the last 2 months where people, just for the idea of anxiety attack and panic attack, it kind of surprised me that really was so many people. But the fact is, wearing a mask presents a real health risk to anybody who has condition in the first place. You got diabetes, you got COPD. I mean, really, you got emphysema. Come on, you know, you're going to restrict your airway. Any doctor with a brain and, you know, two brain cells to rub together will tell you that certain people should never, ever, ever wear a face mask if they have a pre-existing condition. And that's about 35-40% of the population right there.
Yes. But then,
what about the healthy people? Does wearing a face mask help anybody, or does it harm people potentially? And we enlisted the help of a very well-known neurosurgeon, retired now, by the name of Dr. Russell Blaylock. And we asked him to address that issue. What are the health risks associated with, for the healthy, of wearing a face mask? Oh, boy, he came up with a blockbuster article and says, man, don't do it. There's all kinds of things that put you at risk if you wear a face mask as a routine thing, especially as a routine thing. And so we published that article. It's had well over 2 million views since we published it a few months ago. And for anybody who is healthy, And that's what this card says. Wearing a face mask poses a serious health risk to me. And that's the truth of the matter. It doesn't matter what your underlying, if you have a condition or not, nobody can ask you that, by the way. It's none of their business. But if you have no condition or any condition, it doesn't matter. Wearing a face mask is not going to do you any good health-wise. So that's our appeal when we tell somebody that we're not going to wear the face mask. That's our first appeal. And usually that just gets you right through the door. And
nobody asks you. You just say, no. I have a health condition, and then they let you through. If they're kind, if they're normal people.
Yeah. I've had a couple of people ask me here in Arizona, well, what's wrong with you? And I just basically say, it's none of your business. And if they still look puzzled, I just say, look, this is part of the constitutional process. And there's also regulations in place on this, like HIPAA, which is, you know, you remember the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, good old HIPAA, that you are not required to disclose your medical condition to anybody unless you want to. So,
exactly.
You know, you get over that hurdle pretty quick. But the second big thing, and this is really the most important thing, Sarah, and this is why Citizens for Free Speech is involved in this. This is one of the most egregious attacks on the First Amendment we've ever had in the history of our country. And it's not just wearing face masks. You cannot communicate properly when you wear a face mask. This negates free speech. I have to just say, duh, this negates free speech. You cannot speak if no. you're wearing a mask. You cannot be understood, and you cannot understand other people that are wearing masks. I constantly am saying, what did you say? What did you say? Could you just pull your mask down and tell me what you said?
Well, and the facial expressions and all sorts of things. Now, you can get into the trauma with children because they need that social bonding, especially in the middle school and older, where they split from their parents and get with their social peer group. And the fact that they're not bonding, and masks and social distancing is keeping their normal bonding process. I mean, there's some serious issues there.
Yes.
But that happens to be, you're right, with the free speech, because they aren't able to, their body language and will not only be able to hear, being so far away, the all aspects of it.
Yes. And then there's the issue of social distancing, which is also an egregious violation of the First Amendment and the right to assemble peaceably. Mm-hmm. How can you assemble peaceably if you have to stand 6 feet apart? It can't happen. People don't think about this, but does a health emergency warrant the destruction of the First Amendment in our Constitution? God forbid. Never, ever, ever should it negate the First Amendment, because that is the watershed amendment of our entire Constitution. Without that, everything else falls apart. We
exactly.
must be able to communicate. Well, here's another thing. California, this really is obvious right now, the closing of churches.
Oh, gosh, I know.
And the micromanagement of how churches are allowed to worship. Oh, you all have to wear a mask. Oh, you can't sing. Oh, no, you can't sing in church. You have to stand 6 feet up. Oh, you can't have more than 50 people in one place, even if your church holds 5,000. And so many pastors now and churches are starting to buck the system, like in California, where they're suing the governor and they're suing the mayor of Los Angeles and Los Angeles County and whatever, that they're being discriminated.
They are.
And they really are being discriminated against. You can let BLM protesters in the street,
exactly.
Can't let churches open up because they're not deemed essential. Well, this is a violation of the first part of the First Amendment. So you see, we just covered three different things, haven't we? And we could go on, but those are the three most important things. They're after religion, and in particular Christianity. They're after free speech by muzzling people, and they're after assembling together in a peaceable manner, I might add, by forcing us to social distance. And then we get into the lockdown issue. There's other constitutional issues with that.
Well, the thing that's actually sad right now is what they're doing to college students. It's almost a torture chamber for these kids. It's really bad. You know, I've been publishing some articles on it, and I'm sure you are all into this too. But there is a university just in the last week here that it was Carroll University, I believe, in Wisconsin, where these three kids, college kids, did a gathering at their off-campus home. It was outside party, and there was maybe 20 of them gathering outside, and they were pretty sparse distance from each other, whatever, but it was being recorded and somebody told on them. And the clip of them, I'm just, how, and then they suspended them and they're not getting their tuition money back.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things just kind of sink to my gut, you know, just, oh my, like a punch in the gut from those kids.
Yes.
I would pull my kids so fast out of that college if I still had influence on them. They are leaving that university. You will not get a dime from me going forward.
That's right. And a lot of students are feeling that way right now. I see stories all the time in Arizona here about how students are so miffed that they're paying $40,000 to do a Zoom class.
Exactly.
It's just absolutely absurd.
They're not getting their resource. My daughter's in college. She's a sophomore in engineering. It's hard. She goes, Mom, I don't have my resources. I used to go to tutoring once a week for my math. I mean, she's just really a good student. Yeah. So she really wants to, and she doesn't have any of those resources now. Can't go to the library, none of it.
That's right. And the library is the center, by the way, in my opinion, the library is the most important center of any university, of any other department there is. A library is the belt buckle that holds everything together, where all the resources are.
Yeah, and that's where all the tutoring was. And yeah. I mean, she always went there because she wanted help and on something, and she couldn't figure it out. She turned it into a habit for her. It was great. And now none of that.
I know. Yeah, none of it. Yeah. ASU, Arizona State University here in our area, has a library. I think they have some 250,000 volumes, just a huge library, just huge. And it's a beautiful library. It's just a gold mine of information that they've got. And with online, you know, distance learning now, you can't go onto campus and go visit that library. You can't check out a book or sit down at a library table and read some of the deeper stuff that you might need for your thesis paper or whatever that you're writing. So students are really getting hosed everywhere. But you know, I'll point this out. One of the first things that came out of Neil Ferguson's mouth in England when he first released that cockeyed computer model was the three policies that they said needed to be done immediately. Wearing face masks is one, social distancing was the other, and shutting down all schools was the third.
Jeez, what an asshole.
Go figure. I mean, you think it through, say, why would they want to shut down the schools? Well, ain't nothing going to get learned, is there? That's just going to shunt the learning process.
Well, it's also going to create trauma and suicidal thoughts amongst students because there's, 25% of the young people have had those thoughts?
Yes, it has really messed up their minds. But yeah. even more importantly, you can see this over the last probably 10 years, the resurgence of occupational training versus being educated in the classroom. In other words, workforce training instead of just education for education's sake.
Yes.
What technocracy would do, and this was specified way back in the 30s, was create people that are suitable or educate people that are suitable for a particular job. And they call that conditioning. They call it conditioning. And that's what technocracy is shooting for today. One of the big things that's going to come out of this is shutting down many universities. They're just going to go out of business. They won't be able to survive the way they are today.
Yeah, absolutely. And what it does when you get people specialized in fields, it creates some of the, you know, the philosophers back in the day would call that the dumbest human being, because you're so focused on one area and you can't see how that fits in everywhere else. I guess that's kind of how the technocrats are. They're so focused on science, they can't see the big picture. But go ahead.
Or
you agree with that. Okay, well, you got to tell people where to get those cards, which has been a lifesaver for me, and where else, because you're doing this great website, great organization for freedom of speech, and your cards and the masks, and talk all about that and give us your plug.
You bet. Well, citizensforfreespeech.org is where you can get information on the cards, and it doesn't cost anything to join Citizens for Free Speech. This is America's organization, man. We gotta this may be our last chance to, you know, to rescue anything in America. So we're hot after this. We're down to the Fisher cut bait time, you know. We're mounting a nationwide protest right now with these cards, basically making the statement, we will not comply, period. You want to wear your face mask as a symbol? Okay, fine. It's your choice. This is America. You can do that. But we wear this card because we will not comply with wearing a face mask, period, and a subject. We will not do it. And so there's a little rationale on the front part of it, including a face mask with a red circle and a bar across it. But on the backside is printed the First Amendment, and it gives people an opportunity to give a little schooling to somebody who may not understand what's going, you know, how the world works in America, and that the First Amendment belongs to them too, and it's an important amendment. And the whole business of free speech and assembly and freedom of the press, even if, like that lady approached you in the store the other day, even her, who if she's an American citizen anyway, she has First Amendment rights as well. And if she doesn't like them, she's sure doing a good job of throwing them away, isn't she?
But exactly.
But a lot of people just don't know, Sarah. And so anyway, we have this opportunity to use this as an education tool on the spot, but it also does just let us get into places that otherwise want to throw us out. And I walked into a Costco the other day, 3 days ago, and the lady tried to shove a mask at me, the greeter, and I just held my card up, and I could see a sense of relief coming over her face. It was just amazing. A big smile came on her face, and you could just tell she didn't want to do her job. She didn't want to confront people. She didn't want to tell people, muzzle up, baby, or you're not getting in here. She saw my card, and she big smile on her face. She waved me in. I said, go on in there. And you know, this is often the reaction that you get from people today who really don't want to play ball with this, but they have to because it's their job. If they don't wear a mask and do what the boss tells them, they get fired. But I'll tell you what, we need to tell these technocrats, we need to send a message to them. And that needs to be, we will not play the role that you have designed for us to play. We are not going to play that role. We will not comply with you now, or next year, or 10 years from now, we will not comply. And in my personal opinion, furthermore, I would say to any hard-nosed person that, you know, the technocrats that are on this, I would say to them as I looked them in the eye, as far as this issue is concerned, I will fight you till hell freezes over, and then I'm going to fight you on the ice. So get ready, Buster. We're going to tangle. And this is important. So we're telling people, don't take it anymore. And if you can't wear a face mask, if you can't wear a no mask card today and show a little protest, okay, just a little sign, if you can't just make a little effort to say you will not comply, what are you going to do when they come knocking at your door with a needle?
Well, exactly, when you really need to.
And you know they are. This is already on the books here in Arizona. The big pharma lawyers were here years ago, got legislation passed that gives the governor the right to mandate vaccines. And our governor just happens to be in love with vaccines, and he also has big investments in a vaccine testing company. So he's set for retirement, you see. So every state in the union right now is going to have some form of vaccine mandate being mandated. If you can't stand up to wearing a face mask, I don't know what you're going to do when they show up with a needle and they want to put this messenger RNA stuff in your veins. You figure it out.
Yep.
Now's the time to draw the line in the sand, because it's coming for you.
Yes, it is. And I don't think we don't have a choice, and you got to protect your kids. I would say that even people with health conditions, you don't have them. And even the government areas or the areas where the governor said with health conditions, you can avoid wearing a mask. You're still going to get harassed if you don't have a mask on. This card really is helpful. Yeah. I would say that it's almost a mandatory thing because nobody has cards. I mean, how are you supposed to prove that you have a health condition? They don't believe you, but suddenly you have this card and it's all cool. You know, like I have this. Yeah. What else am I supposed to use as a health card? It's really useful. And like you said, it shows to other people when you're walking around. I'm walking around. I think it gives other people maybe a little bit of courage to also stand up.
It does. And I can't tell you, a bunch of times I've been stopped and my wife has been stopped. Where did you get that card? Exactly. A guy stopped us in Home Depot 2 days ago. We were in line. We're going to check out a couple of things. And this guy in front of us, a young guy, had a tattoo. I mean, he looked like, you know, kind of typical young guy, I guess. And he looked around. He said, look today. He says, hey, can I ask you what that is and where'd you get it? And by the time we're done talking to him, he took a picture of the card. He said, man, I'm going to go there and get me some cards.
Yes.
And this
I have people I've sent the link to. Yeah.
I know. I bet this has happened a couple of dozen times to us where people ask. That's another great thing. You know, people that don't know, they want to know. You're a walking billboard. You got a chance and an opportunity to drag somebody out of their fear, right? Get them out of that mindset and say, you know what? You don't have to do this. This is not some kind of, you know, there's no law here. There's no law. There's no regulation. This is just guidelines they're enforcing here. This is not law. And we're a country of laws, not, you know, not guidelines. And so, you know, people start thinking about that and says, you know, I never thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right. You know, at least when you get a traffic ticket, if you get busted, radar, you know, police pulls you over and says, you were going 50 in the 25 zone. Well, they get you dead to rights because they got the radar and the map or whatever, you know, and they can take that to court and it could stick. But if an officer comes up and says, well, you know, there's no posted speed limit here on this street, but the guideline is 30 miles an hour and you were doing 50. And you say, wait a minute, it's not posted, but you say there's a guideline? Where'd the guideline come from? Well, it was just the national, Department of Transportation or whatever. They said that the safe minimum speed on a street is 30. That's the guideline. So we're citing you for violating the guideline. What are you going to say? Yeah, I'm sorry, officer. There's no such thing as a guideline. You either have a rule, a regulation, or a law, or you got nothing. And so take a hike. And if you judge would say, you know, you're right. They cannot cite you for a guideline.
But they are fining people. They're doing all sorts of stuff, and they're enforcing it.
And it's going to be tested in court. And I think a lot of cases are going to be won on this. I tell you what needs to happen in America right now. We're not quite to this point, but we're getting to this point. What we need to have and get communities around the country, get 25 or 30 people together who think like you and me. And do a little shop, go on a little shop-in tour where you go as a group, say 25 people, and you walk into a store that has been notoriously anti, you know, anybody not wearing a face mask or who won't let you in, period. And you all walk in at the same time without your face mask on and wearing your card and saying, we're here, we're doing a protest, we call this a shop-in. And we're disputing your policies for not allowing us to come in your store. And the guy's going to come back, say something like, once the manager comes out, well, you're trespassing because this is private property. Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you are serving the public and you have only a limit to how far you can say it's private property. But when push comes to shove, you either leave or I'm calling the police. You hand him your cell phone and say, here, I've already got the number and just hit dial. And we'd like you to call the police. And we would like you to arrest us all at the same time. And just make sure some of the news services are there to take a video of the whole thing. And let them arrest you and take you down and refuse to sign the citation that they want to give you. That'll force them to take you to jail and get booked. That will force them to put you before a judge where you can demand a jury trial. and say, we all want a jury trial right now. Your Honor, that's our right, and we want it. And you will choke the legal system in a heartbeat, because these people writing these violations, these citations, have nothing legal to stand on. They really do not. And yet, they do it anyway in defiance of the law of our land.
It's just nuts. So where do they get these cards? What's the website?
Citizensforfreespeech.org. And that's not the number four. It's just all spelled out. Citizensforfreespeech.org. We are a nonprofit organization. This is America's organization. It's not just me. I started it, and I happen to be the executive director currently. That probably won't be permanently, but you know, as we move forward, this is America's stand to take local action to restore our Constitution and our communities. And this is what makes us different, I think, than a lot of other organizations. We are dedicated to local activism. We want to show people the way to make a difference in their communities. And first thing here that we're into right now are these no mask cards. This is huge.
It's and, really a big deal.
These will get great relief wearing them and using them, and using them as opportunities to educate people. If people stop and ask you, what is that you're wearing around your neck? So citizensforfreespeech.org, and come check it out. Even if you don't want the cards for whatever reason, join CFFS and stand with us in the battle for the First Amendment.
Thank you so much, Patrick, for joining the program. And you also have a Technocracy site. It's technocracy.news. .news. Yep. And they could sign up. Do you have a newsletter on both sites?
A digest goes out on Technocracy News and Trends every day. Just a summary of the articles that were posted. And the CFFS website, we send out periodic emails on various issues and stuff. We're not a blog in the sense that we're posting all these articles and stuff there. We're an activism organization. We're out for doing things, not just talking about things. So
I love that.
A lot of the people come to our site at CFFS, they already know the issues. They just say, tell me what I can do. I'm just tired of this. I want to do something. Well, we've got that do something on citizensforfreespeech.org.
Perfect. And that card is I love that card. So thank you so much, Patrick. There's been a long interview, and it's great. So thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure, Sarah. Glad to do it.